It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
And let's go outdoors with the Major Billy Downer here on SC Wild on Sports Talk from the Department of Natural Resources. Pleasure to have the Major with us once again. He's traveling. He's on the road somewhere. I don't know where. Major, welcome in, sir. Happy holidays to you. And where are you coming to us from?
Good evening. I am coming to you live from the great state of New Jersey.
Oh, wait a minute. You're out there looking at the drones? Are you checking the drones out?
I am not looking at the drones, but everybody has asked that question.
I bet.
We are up here. We're up here waterfowl, for a little waterfowl season up in New Jersey. So actually enjoying the great outdoors once again.
Absolutely. You know, if you see one of those drones, could you reach it with one of your rifles? Think you could get a shot on it?
We're not using rifles for waterfowl, Phil. Come on, you know that. Shotguns. But, yes, we probably could reach it with a shotgun. Absolutely. If you see a drone. But everybody has asked that. We say you're going to New Jersey. Well, let us know if you see a drone. So, anyway. No drones so far. Everything's been safe. We're going to talk about waterfowl tonight a little bit. Going to bring in just talking about where our waterfowl numbers have been on our public Category 1 areas, the Cape and down at the Santee, at our Santee Gun Club, Santee Coastal Reserve. Our numbers look really good for the November portion of the waterfowl season. Those numbers, the top area for the state was Murphy Island. And you know, Phil, you love these numbers, but 5.5 ducks per man, followed by Cedar Island at 4.7 ducks per man, and then the Cape at 4.5 ducks per man. And yes, I know it's 0.5. I don't know what a half a duck may look like, or a seventh tenth of a duck. But anyway, those are the averages. The top duck in the bag at Murphy Island was actually, interestingly enough, was Gadwall, followed by the American Widgeon, which is pretty cool. And then Greenwing Teal, of course, were high in all three areas. But Widgeon was pretty interesting to see. And then, of course, Mottled Ducks were taken as well at all three areas. But the top duck for the Murphy Island was the Gadwall, so followed very closely by some pintails in there, too. So Gadwall, Widgeon, Greenwing Teal, and Pintails being the top four rounding it out at Murphy Island. So pretty interesting to see that those quality, what we call quality ducks there. Pintail, everybody wants a chance at pintail. Mottled ducks, of course, but you get Widgeon like that up there. That's really neat. So it's good to see the Widgeon numbers back up. I see an increased number of those. But it hasn't been a while since I've seen Widgeon actually their numbers up. So it's good to see that. But anyway, waterfowl season is back in full swing as of December the 12th. Waterfowl impoundments across the state lit up this past weekend, and we are into the remaining section of the season goes through January 31st. So our six-duck limit, again, continues through the rest of the season. You'll remember that your bluebill limit will change here in December very shortly from 2 to 1 for the remainder of the season. But numbers look good. You know, up here, you come up here and it is 30, you know, it was 30 degrees this morning. Cold, but not really cold. Ended up being about 50 degrees by 11 o'clock. So things slow down up here. But, you know, you want to know what in the world would you be up in New Jersey for? Well, New Jersey has pretty interesting. They have Brant, the Atlantic Brant. So it's interesting to see those numbers. Those birds are just unique to this area. We get some in South Carolina, but they have a lot of high numbers of Brant here in New Jersey, so it's fun. So get a chance to try a challenge, to take something new or something different, and we were successful today, so a lot of fun. But good day afield. South Carolina, temperatures have gotten warm again. Typically hasn't been good for waterfowling, but we do have good waterfowl numbers. Cold fronts got to move in before Christmas again. Deer season's still in. Deer season will follow through January 1st. So for those of you that have not, you know, taken a deer this year, you still got time. Buck activity has been really slow with the colder weather in the last week. We've seen some increased buck activity. Don't know if there'll be a late quote-unquote rut or not, but there is some increased activity across the state with deer, and some nice deer are being taken here late season. So don't count it out. My daughter shot one years ago. You know, what, it was eight years ago now for her. She shot a record buck as far as, you know, state record buck. She shot it the day after Christmas. So there is still time to shoot a nice deer. It can happen even though when things are slow. If you've got cameras, keep them out. You know, keep food out for, you know, as you get toward the end of the year, a lot of people quit feeding deer or they don't have the food plots kept up, and that can run your numbers down. You won't see deer activity as much. But anyway, that's where we are at this point in the season. Looking forward to, again, the second waterfowl season, deer season wrapping up. We're in, you know, some of the small game right now. Squirrels, rabbits are good. This is fun for a lot of people. So that's kind of where we sit right now with hunting season across the state. Fishing, this time of year, stripers are still doing pretty well. Lake Marion, stripers are doing fairly well. So we'll be watching that. We'll talk about that more probably as we get into next month. But typically cold weather, fishing gets better on the coast as far as, you know, when you talk about trout, speckled trout bites doing good. As it gets really cold, they'll slow down. But right now, speckled trout bite is good. I've heard some really good numbers from Allendale up even to Merle's Inlet. So very good there. And then again, stripers across the state in our state lakes, particularly in Lake Marion, one of my favorites. They are doing very well right now, drifting, so with herring. So anyway, that's kind of the whole picture of our state as we speak right now. And as we get ready for Christmas, you know, I would continue to offer ideas for folks looking for that last-minute Christmas gift for the sportsman and sportswoman in your life. Just sitting here with a bunch of game wardens from New Jersey and asking that age-old question, what's the best gift? And when, you know, we ask that question, what's the best gift you ever got for Christmas? Everybody throws out a rifle, shotgun, some type of gun. And those are expensive gifts, and those are always nice. But don't forget the small stuff, like this morning when it's cold. Something that's really nice, hand warmers. And you can buy those packs of hand warmers, you know, a big pack of them, and give that sportsman in your life something to keep their hands warm on cold mornings. Those are nice. You know, they're not but like $1 or $2 a piece for a pack of them, but you can get a big pack of them and give them several of them to take a field more than once. So those are great stocking stuffers. Again, those are the hot hands. They're typically called hot hands. We've always said, you know, we said this last show, and I'll say it again, as dumb as it sounds, even this group brought up socks. Socks is where it's at. It doesn't matter where you hunt, if you hunt ducks, if you hunt deer, you hunt rabbits, it doesn't matter. Good pair of socks in cold weather is always nice. Good pair of wool socks, always great, a great choice. And those are available at Sportsman's Warehouse, Bass Pro Shops, and local sporting goods stores in your area. So those are great, again, stocking stuffers. You know, everybody doesn't want to give a pair of socks for Christmas for the main gift, but they're always good for that good stocking stuffer for sure.
I got a question, since you're talking about holiday gifts, and you're talking about tangible things that you can put, you know, your hands or your feet on or your body in, that kind of stuff, and that's great. But you are on a hunting trip with other wardens. So my question to you is, give us an idea of some good hunting trips for holiday gifts. Now, not trips that you have to take maybe right away. It could be a trip maybe in the spring or maybe in the summer. If you were going to give a trip to somebody as a holiday gift, what in your mind are good trips to take that would make for good gifts?
Okay, so trips can be a good option. You've got to be really – so that ends – that takes you into a whole nother realm of questions. You know, what does that person in your life like to do? When you go on a trip, you're looking at $3,500, $4,000 probably, maybe more for a good trip just to go maybe duck hunting out of state. You're looking at $2,000, $3,000 for a trip for a duck hunt. One of the big things is making sure you get a reputable guide. Make sure that you look in, do some research. You know, everybody's got an internet site anymore. Everybody's got a Facebook page. Do some research. Check the Facebook page out. See what kind of comments are out there. Look or talk to people you know who have been on good trips. One of the best sources of information is talking to somebody that's been somewhere already, if you can, and get them to tell you what their trip was like, where's the best place to go. Then you really get good referrals that way. Otherwise, you can end up somewhere that's just fly by night. It jumped up. They got some great pictures on the internet, but they're not a good guide service. They don't take care of you. They're not safe. And those are things, of course, that are number one for me. Number one, that you're safe. Number two, that you take care of your customers when you go. And you can have a good time. Here's the thing. When you go hunting, it's not always guaranteed. You go duck hunting, you may not see any ducks. But do you have a good time? Do they take care of you? Do they feed you in the blind? Do you have a nice place to stay, a warm place to stay? You're not in a rat hole, those kind of places. That makes the trip worthwhile. Is the guide got a good personality? Do they know how to talk to you in the blind and just keep things going? For a duck hunt, that's everything. It's finding a good duck hunt. And so there's some good ones out there. There's some places I've been that are good. I've been to some that are bad. Mm-hmm. But across the country, and then here comes another one. Where do you want to go? Real Foot Lake's a big one. A lot of people have been there in Tennessee. I know people have gone to North Carolina to Mad Mesquite. I know people have gone to Texas. I know people go to Arkansas. They go to Kansas. And the place, so to speak, quote unquote, changes over the years. Arkansas used to be a place everybody went. Well, then Arkansas kind of gets burnt out a little bit. Then people start going to Oklahoma. They go to Kansas, and then that gets a lot of pressure. And then that changes. North Carolina used to be good. It's not as good anymore day in, day out. So it just takes time to work through that. But finding a good place, talk to somebody that's been in a good place, check into it, look for a reputable guide. That's waterfowl. Dove hunting. A lot of people want to go dove hunting out of the country. So here's another thing. Argentina is a great place to go. You're going to spend $3,000 to $5,000 on that trip with flights, guides, ammo, those kind of things. You don't take a gun down there. You use their guns. You pay for ammo there. Quality dove hunt for 2 days. Great trip. Usually in Argentina, out of Cordova, is one of the big places there. Again, you're going to spend around $5,000 that trip. There's some really good places there to go. But remember, to do that, here we go again. Think ahead of time. You're going to have a passport, all these things. But you can plan for that, and you can buy these trips. And a lot of these guides will give you a year, 2 years to take the trips. You don't have to take it, like you said, next week, next month. So those are some good things there. Then you got the big sport stuff. But you go out west and go elk hunting or mule deer hunting. I was looking at those prices. Mule deer hunts now are around $5,000 to $10,000. Elk hunts now are above $7,500 to $12,000 for an elk hunt. These are trips of a lifetime now. I call them, I say, trip of a lifetime now because everybody can't do it every year, year in, year out. So there are some good trips. Again, states are important, knowing what states you can go to get tags. Because elk are low in number, so you have to look at states that have a tag system that is more free across the table, either across the counter tags, we call it. Colorado's one of those great states. Wyoming, another great state right behind that. If you go to a private outfitter, sometimes they have what they call private land tags, and those are going to be the expensive hunts, $14,000, $15,000. And they're going to, you know, guarantee you an opportunity at an elk. Again, end of the day, they're guaranteeing you an opportunity. You've got to take the shot. You've got to be prepared. And sometimes the opportunity may be 300 or 400 yard shot. Mm-hmm. Everybody's not used to that. So lots of things come into play when you start talking about going on a trip or buying a trip for someone. So you really got to know the person you're buying the trip for and just find out everything you can about the guide. Again, you want a quality trip for someone. And then some trips allow you to take a hunter and observer. Africa trips are great. Those get up there. Again, you can get those trips for around $2,700, $3,000 for some of these trips in South Africa, not the $10,000, you know, $20,000, $30,000 when you're trying to take the big five type animals. If you go there for just a typical plains game, you know, maybe an impala, a zebra, kudu, gemsbuck, those kind of hunts can be had for around $3,000. Now, I'll tell you this, the most expensive part about that trip is not the trip itself, but the flight to get there and back, around $2,000 for that flight. And then the fees that come after the fact. You may get the trip, you can kill three to five animals for $3,000, $3,500, but you're going to have to get them, the hide needs to be prepared, packed, and dipped, salted, all these things, and then shipped back to you in the States if you're going to get that animal mounted. And there's fees for that. There are the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service permits have to be gotten. All that can be done, again, reputable guide. Talk to someone who's been to Africa, who's been to one of the places you're thinking about going to. Check out the websites. Really do your research. Find a good, reputable guide service before you go any trip, whether in the country or out of the country. That is primos.
Now, after watching Yellowstone for 5 years, I feel like Montana would be an awesome place to go on a trip. But let me ask you this before you talk about Montana. Is the state of South Carolina viewed by folks in other part of the country as a destination point for outdoor trips like this?
So, great question. South Carolina does have some things to offer for the outdoorsman. A lot of us in South Carolina don't realize the things we have here, like a 4.5-month deer season. There's a lot of people that come here to deer hunt because we have a season that is so long and allows for so much opportunity. We have a tremendous deer herd in South Carolina. We may not have the biggest deer. We have some nice deer, but we have a lot of deer, and our season goes for a long time. So that's one of the attractive pieces for South Carolina there. Red fishing on the coast. A lot of people come here to redfish. Just like they go to Louisiana, they come here to redfish. A lot of people will, again, you know, some people come here for turkeys that don't have turkeys in their state, want an eastern wild turkey. So a lot of folks will go for what they call the slam. They're trying to get a turkey, each of the turkey species. And they may come to South Carolina for a turkey hunt. So it just depends on what that person is looking for. But we're known for a really long deer season. That's one of the things we have best. Now, we used to be known for quail. You know, times change. Things go, you know, things change. So our quail population is not what it used to be. So we're not really a quail destination anymore. Mm-hmm. But we do, again, deer season, waterfowl, somewhat. There's a lot of people that come here to duck hunt now because we have so many of the big impoundments. So a lot of people will try those and come there. But again, those are so privatized, it's not as much for the public. So we're not huge on that. But again, to me, I think the number one thing we have is our deer season probably, and then our turkey season for a lot of folks as well, because we've had a pretty good turkey population for a long time. Now, we're seeing some decline right now as the whole Southeast sees decline, but right now it's kind of where we are. But before we go tonight, let me mention one more gift idea. Mm-hmm. I just helped a friend of mine with this past week, and something a lot of people don't think about. Lifetime hunting and fishing licenses are a great gift. Whether you're a grandparent, parent, doesn't matter, they're a great gift item because they last a lifetime. Let me tell you why that's important. A friend of mine is just moving out of state. His daughter just graduated Clemson. And before they moved out of state, I was telling him, I said, look, you need to go ahead and buy a lifetime license for you and your daughter before y'all move. If you don't, you're going to pay in 2 years what you would pay for that lifetime license. It's $500 for a lifetime combination hunting and fishing license. That includes a big game permit. You can come back to the state. If you buy that while you're a resident of South Carolina and you move away, if you come back, you still have that resident license and you still hunt as a resident of South Carolina. So if your child is graduating college, graduating high school, great gift idea is that lifetime license, because you're giving them the privilege of being able to be a resident here in South Carolina and hunt for life in this state, the state they grew up in. That's a great gift idea. And if you're a grandparent and you have a grandchild, grandson, or granddaughter, before the age of two, you can buy that lifetime license for $300 before the age of two. So there's a little secret there. Mm-hmm. Again, you can add to that through the years. You can add lifetime waterfowl later to it. You can add a lifetime saltwater license to it. So there's a lot of things you can add in the future if you buy it now for a young person and you want to add to it next Christmas. But those are great. That's a great item. And again, I've helped some folks with that just didn't know, hey, you're moving out of state and you're a resident of South Carolina, buy your lifetime license now before you move. And it gives you the privilege of being a resident when you come back and you have that license. You don't have to buy it anymore. You still got it. And that, again, if you do that, it's a great thing to have. Not only does it help us as far as lifetime licenses, that money to the department helps us match federal funds in the future as well for a long time. But it helps you in that you can come back and you don't have to worry about buying your license. You've always got it.
That sounds like a great deal and a way to plan early, you know, because you're starting early with a young person there. That sounds like a great idea.
And if they're not, if they're over three, four, over 2 years old, so again, four, 2 years old, $300. After that, up to 16, it's $400 before they're 16. And then after that, it's $500. So $500 still is a good deal. You think about if you're going to live for 20 years, buy the license because you're going to outdo your license. Yeah. License is $25 for a combination license. In 20 years, you pay for it. You get it now. So a lifetime license is a great gift idea. It just works real well. And, again, it helps us out because it helps us match federal dollars with our license.
Now, the one thing you haven't told us is how well you've been doing on this particular hunt.
I did tell you. We came up here. For one thing, we came up here to experience a brant hunt. We got to do that this morning. We're going to do it again tomorrow. We had a good time, saw a lot of brant. We're successful today. It's a lot of fun. It's just different coastal hunting in saltwater. It's a very harsh environment. You got saltwater everywhere. You got tides to worry about. And saltwater and shells and guns doesn't always marry up very well. So we're cleaning the guns tonight really well. But anyway, having a good time, enjoying seeing some friends. And spending time outdoors. And I know we're getting close to leaving. Before we go, I just want to remind folks this Christmas, as you're spending time with your family and you may have folks that come in that haven't hunted in a while, make sure you have a safe hunt. Make sure everyone knows how to handle a firearm. Make sure that firearm's unloaded when not in use. And make sure when you decide to take a shot that you identify that target and you make sure what it is in front of the target, in front of it, behind it, beyond it, so you know when you pull that trigger, it's what you intend to shoot. That's the number one thing to remember over Christmas season. If you have family coming in, just be fun, be careful, have fun, and have a Merry Christmas next week.
And same to you, sir. You continue to be safe on your trip. You and the Downer clan, you guys have a great holiday, a Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to a great 2025, talking about the great outdoors in South Carolina.
Thank you, Phil. Have a good night.
Thank you, Major. As always, we appreciate you. Major Billy Downer, Department of Natural Resources, SC Wild, here on Sports Talk. We thank him for being with us tonight. Okay, now we continue this week from the beach. Tomorrow night, more coverage of the All-Star game and the All-Star preparations here. We'll also attempt to catch up with Shrine Bowl coach Reggie Kennedy. This is a strange week, having both games on the same day. And, you know, kind of split our attention to some degree, but not totally. Also strange that you've had so many top players opt out of the Shrine Bowl, which led the Shrine Bowl to reach down and pull up players from this game. I think I was told today by one of the folks that like 14 roster changes had to be made since they named the original rosters for this game. Looking forward to it, though, rest of this week from the beach. And thank you, Josh. Have a great night, everybody. See you tomorrow.